Welcome to Federal Insights for March. What's next for Zero Trust in the Federal Government, sponsored by Force 3.
Hello and welcome to today's program. I'm Eric White. As the government gets closer and closer to rolling out its Trusted Internet Connection 3.0 policy, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency is laying the groundwork for agencies to begin using the program with recently released strategic documents. One of the objectives of TIC 3.0 is dividing agencies' architectures into trust zones based on certain factors. To get more insight into the plan, Federal News Network's Jason Miller spoke with Sean Connolly. He's the TIC program manager at CISA.
The Trusted Internet Connections 3.0, the excitement is building around this, the community. I know you can feel it, but you guys have gotten some comments in about the draft use cases, the draft implementation guidance, I think about five documents you guys put out. So give me a sense, what are some of those trends you're starting to see? What are some of those, the feedback you're getting?
Sure. So just so everyone understands, the documents that we released were built over a number of years. We've had interagency working groups. In those interagency working groups, we've had participation from over 50 agencies. We've also had, through GSA and the EIS program, a number of one-on-ones with each of the EIS vendors. Aside from those, we've also had deep dives and one-on-ones with each of the cloud service providers, with security vendors, with agencies. Aside from that, we've been doing a number of pilots in the background. So through all that was what built out in those documents that you mentioned before. So the interest or the focus on those documents is about the use cases, the overlays, the capabilities in them, and the alternative architectures that's allowed through OMB's TIC memo.
As you guys are getting comments back, and again, they're from industry, they're from associations, they're probably maybe some from government folks. Is there anything you're seeing that's standing out to you? Or are you surprised by anything? Give me a sense of some of that feedback.
Sure. So we're going through the adjudication process. And as we go through, there are some things we're recognizing around the trust zones themselves, how we can expand the ideas of the trust zones. The trust zones are abstract, they're conceptual, they're notional. One of the things from our side is, as we build out these pilots, we have to build out on what we see, what's available in the pilots themselves. So right now, the pilots that we're working on are more toward infrastructure alternatives, infrastructure service pilots. Ideally, though, we expect at some point we'll start having zero trust pods. We can start embedding some of those concepts more into the zero trust use case itself. But the trust zone itself, that concept, I mentioned it's abstract. It can be a network. It can be a VPC with a cloud provider. It can, ideally, we want to shrink that trust zone down to be as small as possible, to focus on the application, to focus on the identity of the user. But with the pilots we have right now, it's more focused on a larger spectrum of networks and systems.
Walk me through, if you could, a little bit of those pilots. There's several that you guys are considering, and then I want to dig deeper into the trust zone, zero trust. Start with the overall pilots.
So the pilots themselves, they started from OMB as one of the activities out of building out the new policy. OMB announced to the agencies a desire for different alternative solutions for different cloud architectures. And from that, OMB, ourselves, CISA, and GSA, we selected a number of those pilots. That same model is what we're going to be using going forward. You'll hear us talk about the federal CISO TIC subcommittee. I'll just call it the subcommittee. They are going to be announcing data calls for new pilots. Agencies will build out proposals. Those proposals will go back to the subcommittee. We'll decide which of those proposals best meet the intent of the use case. And from those, then we'll work with the agency as they build out the pilot to meet their risk strategy, to meet their architectures. We'll be monitoring and observing them in the background. Once those pilots wrap up, CISA, we will then be able to distill lessons learned from that, build those into a draft use case. We'll be working with GSA the whole time. We'll turn that draft use case over to the subcommittee to approve. They'll approve it for the greater.gov. Same time, GSA, they'll be working in the background to build that use case into a service package for the EIS vehicle.
So these pilots have not kicked off yet. That's part of the discussions happening. Do you get a sense of when that data call is going to happen? Do you get a sense of when these pilots will start to come to fruition?
So there's been the original set of pilots that we're working with through OMB. And because sensitivities, we recognize SBA, they've talked about their pilot, Department of Energy, they've talked about their pilot. But there's also been a number of other pilots that we've been working on in the background. aside from those, the expectation is once we release the final set of guidance, the guidance you mentioned before, that's in draft, once we release that, at that same time, we'll be working through that subcommittee. The subcommittee will announce it out, ideally sometime in the late spring or summer is when I think we'll start seeing the data call for more pilots.
And imagine agencies are excited. They're probably chomping at the bit, maybe a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit, okay. Give me a sense of now, let's maybe expand this conversation. There's potentially some zero trust pilots as well as the trust zones effort. These are not the same thing. Zero trust, if you will, is that concept. Trust zone is something, I think, a little bit more specific. So what's the difference between the two?
Sure. So I think they actually work well together. I'm also one of the authors on the NIST special pub on zero trust. And working through the team at NIST, we wanted to make sure that the two align between what zero trust is and where TIC could go. And so that concept of the trust zone fits well with the trusted resource, the trusted application that's talked about in the NIST special pub. From the TIC side, we need to be a little more conceptual. That's why that idea of the trust zone isn't just limited down to a trusted resource. It still needs to be a system or an architecture where agencies have that flexibility to decide how best to use that trust zone to meet those use cases as they build them out.
And a trust zone, I think you put a good definition on it. It could be an application. It could be a person. It could be data. It's whatever you're trying to, if you will, secure the best way you can secure it versus the old way of securing everything, putting the big, you know, we'll use the old example of a moat with a big wall and et cetera. Instead, this trust zone is we're just going to put it around this X, whatever X is.
So ideally, that's what we want to do, shrink that trust zone to be as small as possible. One of the things with TIC that we've heard from a lot of agencies is they still want flexibility in terms of some agencies still like that TIC to that traditional TIC access point. To them, those trust zones are simple. It's the internal trust zone and that external untrusted zone. So we need to make sure that this framework that we build out can still support those type of architectures, like you said, that traditional perimeter, moat, and such. But then also, as agencies start to expand out into modern architectures, how those trust zones can then be applied to those architectures also.
The zero trust piece, let's maybe walk down that path a little bit as well. Help me understand where zero trust fits into this TIC discussion.
Let me answer the question this way. When the subcommittee announces the zero trust proposals, the pilots, agencies will submit their proposals back to us. We plan to then observe those pods in the background. The agencies are free to interpret how they want with the zero trust. There's a lot of moving elements with zero trust. There's the identity factor. There's a contextual continual awareness factor. There's also just the abstraction away from the network itself and how it's more focused on the application or the user. I mentioned the identity. And so we want to monitor these pods in the background. And then from those different pods, distill lessons learned into our use cases, and then we can publish that use case out to the greater government for adoption.
Sean Connolly is TIC Program Manager at the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, speaking with Federal News Network's Jason Miller. We'll have more for you after this quick break. I'm Eric White.
End-to-end security starts by adopting zero trust policies that encompass network security, vulnerability management, and access control. Force 3 is the network security company serving federal agencies and the DoD for more than 25 years. We take a six-step approach to guiding federal technology teams, from strategy development to enterprise-wide implementation to achieve zero trust security. Learn more about what Force 3 can do to improve your agency's security protocols at force3.com.
We continue our interview with Sean Connolly, TIC Program Manager for the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. He spoke with Federal News Network's Jason Miller.
Do you think that the agencies, generally speaking, understand that the zero trust piece and the TIC piece and the trust zones, how they all work together? Is that something that the use cases will try to help them understand that each of these pieces and each of these ideas we'll fit together for that broader, and here's another buzzword I'll use for you, their holistic approach to cybersecurity. People couldn't see this, but Sean cringed just a little bit.
So the idea with the use cases, we released two use cases, draft use cases, with our documentation. We released the traditional tick access point use case, and then we also released one on a branch office use case. On the OMB memo, we are responsible for a number of other use cases also. And our idea was to release these first two draft use cases, get feedback back from the agencies and from vendors and public, and then build out the other use cases in the background. So we are still responsible for an infrastructure as a service, a platform as a service, software as a service, email, and a remote user use case. And we would like to couple possibly the zero trust activities back to their remote user use case. But the idea was to use those first two draft use cases. Everyone understand what those were. And it's about 30 pages of guidance between the data flows, the capability requirements. And then after we understand where we need to course correct a little, we'll start building out the other use cases also.
One of the things when we talk about trust zones is is this considered a new concept? Is this considered something that agencies haven't been doing? Or is it relates back to the high-valued assets effort? Does it relate back to CDM even?
I think it's a combination of all that. So back with the traditional tick access point, it was that internal, external trust zone, even though it really wasn't defined at that point 10 years ago. But as the modern architecture has matured, as we have high-value assets, as we have more mobility into the cloud, we need this concept of the trust zones and then to build out different architectures and security solutions around those trust zones themselves. So it's just not that binary solution.
And you bring up the cloud, and I know you're not necessarily an expert on cloud, but does the cloud offer more challenges to reach to create these trust zones? Does it offer more challenges to get toward that zero trust framework?
From the perspective of the cloud and the trust zones, what we're looking at with agencies is more how they want to secure their environments, define the different architectures of those trust zones themselves. When we built out the trust zone concept, and we built this out about a year and a half ago when we were working with the working groups and the agencies, we had this gradient of three: low trust zones, moderate trust zones, and high trust zones. And agencies came back pretty quickly and said they wanted more flexibility, just a gradient, low, medium, high, low, moderate, high. And so that's why we use those low, moderate, high to articulate our concepts in the documentation. But it's really up to the agencies. We've already talked to a few agencies that almost have a spectrum of 10 different types of trust zones. That includes, like you asked about, with cloud service providers, mobility, on-prem, off-prem, and such.
I don't know if you can get a sense yet, but are agencies using this concept of trust zones? Are they waiting for something from DHS or TIC to use them or implement them? Where are we at? Just, again, broad-based.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's a good question. So really, I think the wait right now is more toward getting the documentation finalized, the draft TIC guidance finalized. We have worked with a number of agencies. They've come to us and said, these are architectures. This is how we want to meet back to the use cases themselves. We plan to work with those agencies to help them support, understand their architectures going forward. But it's really the concepts out there, and we're interested to see is how those agencies, how vendors, because I think talking to a lot of vendors, they understand what we're trying to do with the trust zones, how they can be applied to the agency's architecture.
There's obviously a lot of consternation in the community about the relationship between TIC and Einstein. I think a lot of people, including Steve, who I've talked to over the years, have said, hey, we believe that this is a good program, just we're not sure it fits in with the TIC program anymore. What have you guys, how are you guys looking at whether you're going to decouple it or make it easier to kind of for the two programs to live together?
Sure. So for a long time, the TIC program and the Einstein program were tightly coupled together. Wherever an agency had a TIC access point, there was the DHS sensors, the Einstein sensors at those TIC access points. But now these alternative architectures, it just doesn't make sense to put these physical Einstein sensors in these locations. It's not going to scale. It's not going to work in cloud environments. So for a number of years in the background, along with the TIC program, we've had our peers from the Einstein program with us as we talk to the vendors, as we talk to the agencies, what the alternative architectures would work that the agencies are considering, and then how does that visibility come back to CISA. That documentation, the guidance that we released, there was the last document was actually a document from the Einstein program, a cloud reference architecture of how the agencies could start to build solutions and send telemetry back to Einstein and the NCPS program. What's interesting to note is if you read that document. It says Volume 1. It's a separate document from the TIC documents, and that's just Volume 1. There is an expectation from the Einstein side that they are going to build out new documents also. One of the things we start going forward with the pilots and the use case themselves, that decoupling that you mentioned before, it is possible that maybe for a TIC use case, it may be a scope of TIC, but may not be as much as focused on Einstein. Maybe we'll have more telemetry coming back to us from CDM. Same time, maybe the NCPS team, they may be working in an area where it's not as scoped for the TIC program to support. So they are still supporting each other, but they're also expanding their roles also. One of the reasons for the original TIC initiative, the original memos, was because of there wasn't the ability to monitor all those connections, those external connections, at where they were originally located, to put the security infrastructure in place, to monitor them, know who they're talking to, what's going across the network. So that was the reason for the TIC initiative, to route those connections back to these where you had these finite access points. But now, as you said, it's totally flipped. Security couldn't scale 10 years ago. Now security can scale. Now it's a different challenge. Now it's, what do you do with all this data? 10 years ago, it was more routing the traffic back to where you can have the sensors. Now it's, those sensors can be distributed more. They can be give you much better context, better fidelity, a richer set of awareness back to the agency and to ourselves. And that's our challenge, is back to the agency and to ourselves and going forward.
That's Sean Connolly, TIC Program Manager for the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. He was interviewed by Federal News Network's Jason Miller. Time for one more quick break. When we return, we'll have part three of our interview with Sean. I'm Eric White.
End-to-end security starts by adopting zero-trust policies that encompass network security, vulnerability management, and access control. Force3 is the network security company serving federal agencies and the DoD for more than 25 years. We take a six-step approach to guiding federal technology teams, from strategy development to enterprise-wide implementation to achieve zero-trust security. Learn more about what Force3 can do to improve your agency's security protocols at force3.com.
Here's the final segment of our interview with Sean Connolly, TIC Program Manager for the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, who spoke to Federal News Network's Jason Miller.
Sean, I want to turn back to you and talk a little bit about those pilots. You mentioned SBA, you mentioned energy. I think Justice Department may have also done a pilot. Give me a sense of what you guys learned from those pilots and how that's given you, if you will, the first step towards creating the use cases for toward helping other agencies come up with their use cases.
Sure. The pilots that we've done so far, we've distilled a number of lessons learned outside how they're using the new environment cells, but just broader for the building out the new use cases. So with the agencies, one of the things we've recognized is when we talk to an agency and the solution they're building out, they may be working with a cloud provider, and cloud providers have a ton of different services available. And the agency may only be focusing on a small segment of the services or a small part of what the cloud provider can provide. So one of the things we need to do is start possibly work with multiple pilots just to capture that broad spectrum of cloud services as they're valuable. It's also important to us when the agency is articulating what their vision is understanding those data flows. The agencies really need to understand the data that they're trying to protect. Agencies need to understand the flows that come out from those systems, where they're going, also the different C-count or users that will be using it. It's not only about the federal employees and how they're accessing the data, the public, how they may be accessing the data, system to system, hybrid, multi-cloud. And we need to have the agencies explain that to us when we're building out and choosing those pilots.
Generally speaking, I know we've heard a lot from SBA. They've talked a lot about their pilots. Was there anything that surprised you that came from theirs or some of the other agency pilots? Was there anything that made you guys change direction or go, whoa? Or, and maybe this is more of a complicated question, or did the emergence of zero trust, I'll tag it back to that earlier part of our conversation, did that make you change in some way as you were developing these documents and as you go forward into the summer?
Now, you mentioned SBA. I think one of the things from SBA, they were the gold standard of pilots. It's going to be pretty tough for some other agencies to get up to the bar of where Maria Rote and her team was able to go with the pilot. They're still talking about what they've done. We're actually working with them in the background on some other parts of the pile going forward. One of the interesting things working with Department of Energy, Max Everett's team, was we built out the baseline of how they wanted to secure their environment. But they also said they recognized they wanted some security solutions above and beyond what TIC was offering at the time. So it's where TIC is that baseline, if you will, but the agencies are certainly welcome to go above and beyond to secure their environments.
Do you get other agencies asking, maybe previously before these new TIC 3.0 use cases are out, asking, well, TIC only does X and Y. We really want to do Z as well. Can we not do Z? And you guys, as from the vendor side, are like, well, we could do Z, but it can't be part of TIC. I mean, could they not before add more capabilities to the baseline, or they always could? I would have imagined.
As we build out these alternative solutions and we build out these new use cases, the branch office use case that we delivered is a perfect example. I'm very cognizant of scope creep of TIC, and I want to make sure it stays to what we're focused on. Traditional TIC, it was really that north-south traffic. It wasn't focused on the branch office going to the headquarters or branch office going to the data center. But as we start with TIC 3, having this branch office use case where now the branch office can go directly to the web, or branch office can go directly to the cloud provider, now it's scope for TIC, I think, is relevant in terms of those connections that go back to the headquarters of the data center. Now we need to provide guidance around that in a way we didn't need to before, because now that branch office is a possible pivot point for threat actors. We need to be aware of that. So how do we secure those connections back to what we call agency resources in a way we didn't think was in scope in the last iteration?
Sean, walk me through what the next, if you will, 6 to 12 months looks like for TIC. I think, as I've written and we've talked about before, there's a lot of pent-up desire to figure this out. The use cases could take another year. We may not get finalization for 18 more months, but how are you guys going to, what are your milestones that you're trying to achieve? And then how are you going to try to go as fast as you're able to? Mm-hmm.
So with TIC too, and I was part of the team that I was at a different role in agency, but I was part of the team that built on TIC too and the guidance. It took almost 11 months to go from the draft guidance with TIC to actually the final publication. No one's on the expectation or desire to take that long. We understand the interest and the pressure both from agencies and vendors. Ideally, what we've been saying is we want to get the TIC guidance that we have now from draft to final in the springtime. And then at the same time in the background, we're working with that OMBs, the Federal CISO TIC subcommittee, to help them as they start to prepare and announce new pilots in the background. So it's the publication of the current guidance in final form. It's us supporting the current use cases and current pilots and preparing for that next round of use cases and pilots.
You've been listening to our interview with Sean Connolly, TIC Program Manager for the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. If you missed any part of this episode, you can find it on our website. Go to federalnewsnetwork.com and search Federal Insights. I'm Eric White.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights for March. What's next for Zero Trust and the federal government? Sponsored by Force 3 on Federal News Network.
For 9 years, Ben's Run has raised nearly $750,000 to support critical research at Children's National and improve the treatment of children with cancer. On Saturday, April 25th, runners will join Ben's Run at Stonegate Elementary in Silver Spring for the 10th and final run in the race to $1 million. Events include a 5K run, a 5-miler, and a 1-mile fun run walk, along with an on-site silent auction and food trucks. Registration and online fundraising information at bensrun.org.